Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with the kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
What's up, people? That's horrible, but we're going to go with it. I was looking at my notes and didn't even know where to go.
It's
good evening,
fine,
everybody, and welcome to Off the Cut, episode 33. We're up in Canada. Today is known as Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. But here in Ohio, today is respectfully dedicated to the food of the day. And this is one I can get behind.
Okay.
Tacos.
Oh, yeah. Love me a good taco. Say something?
Did we lose audio?
I thought I lost your audio then. I saw your mouth move for a second and no noise came out.
I got to get rid of this gum. I don't know why I decided chewing gum before a podcast was a good idea.
So for everybody's background, Eric and I had like a good like 10 minutes of troubleshooting before the show. My audio wasn't working, or my microphone wasn't working. Then his audio wasn't working, and then my audio, and we went back and forth like that 10 times. So I just panicked for a second there.
You would think that as people who make a substantial sum of money, that sounds way more than it actually is.
Yeah. Make a non-zero amount of money.
A non-zero amount of money around a technical field. Mm-hmm. That we would know how to get all this stuff situated. But we're like texting each other back and forth. Like, I can hear you, but only if my speakers. Oh, wait, no, it says you're on mute, but I'm not on mute on my screen. Like, oh, yeah, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. But in our defense, like, I don't really know what fixed it. It just started working all of a sudden. So
who knows?
Yeah, maybe it was a glitch.
I'm sure if Apple made a chatting thing, it probably would work.
I'm sure it would. I'm surprised they actually aren't a little bit more invested in that. Like, I guess all their laptops come with cameras and stuff, but they don't really have, like, you know, they don't have like the Apple webcam and the Apple microphone, and like that's an audience that could be exploited for extra revenue.
I mean, even the webcam, it's all about exploiting people. Even the webcam on mine is like whatever the first generation of the M1 thingy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, I mean, 1 to 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And the webcam's 720p. Like, I might as well put a potato
into my computer. Every laptop is so bad with webcam. Like, mm-hmm. I've got a nice laptop. It's like the nice Dell one. And still, 720p laptop. It's like, come on, this laptop is like $3,000 or something like that. Like, give me something.
Spend another $50 and put a 1080p sensor in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because then what happens is you get this nice sleek laptop, and then you're like clipping a aftermarket webcam to the top of it. It just looks like trash.
Right.
Or you
and
do
it's not hard.
Yeah. Oh no. I'm sure if they wanted to, they could work it out.
We've been deep in the weeds today about tech. If you join the live stream with us today, you know that we pretty much were just talking about camera lenses for like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's some gems that you don't always get when you just listen on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever the hell else you listen to this ramble.
And then plus, if you watch the YouTube live stream, you actually get to see what we're referencing and talking about. Mm-hmm. We had all sorts of props. Eric had his camera out. He was walking me through his audio setup. So it's good behind the scenes content.
Lots of good banter there.
Banter.
Look at me. I'm on it right now. Craig is dogging me for wearing a hat. Well, Craig, you want to know what happened? This is the time of year where in Ohio, and I'm sure Toronto is the same, mm-hmm. it's literally like 30 degrees in the morning.
Yes.
And then like I came home from the gym tonight and it's 70 degrees out.
Yes. Yeah.
But my hair is already destroyed with a hat and I'm just rocking the hat, man.
This morning when I got to work, I was like walking from my truck to the job site and I could see my breath. It was so cold.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the day, I was like out in a t-shirt. I was like stripping off layers. It's like it's too hot out here to keep working covered up like this.
Should have filmed that, man. Everything's content.
Speaking of taking off layers, I got the confirmation that my off-the-cut windbreaker is shipped.
So yeah, I saw that. I told you to just text me your address and I'd send it to you.
You did. But then I went on and then shipping, for whatever reason, shipping was free. So I was like, okay. Yeah.
I changed everything on my website because I got like, people were telling me, like, somebody's like, oh, I live in New Zealand and it wants to charge me like $40 for shipping. But then I looked at my shipping cost and it was like $5.99.
Oh,
so I just changed the price of everything to just include, it just basically is the exact same price, but adds whatever I have to pay for shipping for that item.
Gotcha. I think it
just makes everything way easier for everyone.
For sure. And it's a better user experience too, because nothing is worse than when you go to check out with something. You're like, okay, I'm going to buy this thing. It's $50. And then you go to check out and then it's like all these little fees added on top. And this is the reason I don't use Uber Eats, by the way. Because you're like, you're ordering through the menu and then it's like, there's a delivery charge and then there's a restaurant surtax and then there's like a tip for the driver. And by the time you get to, you actually get your food, it's twice as expensive. It was what it was listed as in the app. Nobody likes that.
Convenience charge.
Exactly. The surge charge, the convenience charge. It's all these little things add up and it's a bad experience. So just see the price. Okay, yes, I confirm I want to pay that much money for that thing. Done.
Yeah. So I took like a couple hours because every single item on my website has a different shipping rate.
Right.
And then, it's a nightmare. But I was like you said, it's a way better experience for everybody. I did all the math to make sure I'm not going to get hosed on anything. Like if you live in New Zealand and you order a t-shirt and I lose $70, it's not going to happen. But
yeah,
it's all situated. And since I've done that, the sales have actually gone up because I think you're right. A lot of people put it in their cart and they're like, fuck.
Oh, seriously, I think people get discouraged. Oh, yeah. Explicit. Uh-oh. That's why we can't have this episode be... every time we start a live stream, it asks us if this content is suitable for children. And because of comments like that, I always have to click no.
It might not be suitable for children, but the content is produced by children.
It's emotional children, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or do you mean because we have like child slaves that we force to do the editing work on this podcast?
Come on. I already got kicked off of Instagram for sexual exploitation or whatever. I don't need another shutdown.
It's true.
But anyway, let's tacos real quick. We got a boatload of stuff to talk about.
Okay.
Hard taco, soft taco.
I enjoy the crunch of a hard taco. Mm-hmm. I like the lack of mess with a soft taco.
True.
So, I don't know. Gun to my head, it's a hard choice to make. I might just let the gun go off if I had to choose between soft and hard.
I don't think you're going to lose, though. Like, either way, you're getting a taco.
You know what I love is like when you go like it's a taco by another name, like a chalupa or I don't know. I'm just saying Taco Bell things now, but like the gordita and stuff like that, where it's like it's a thicker taco or whatever it is. I don't know the technical terms behind it, but I really like those.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like a soft taco and then they put a layer of cheese and then they put a hard taco inside. Whatever. I dig all that stuff, too.
I mean, you're playing with fire at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like it.
Bathroom fire.
Oh, jeez. My only grievance with hard tacos is, well, for multiple grievances, or grievi, perhaps. when you buy them at the grocery store, you get that box off the shelf, and it's like playing the lottery, man. You're like, you baby that thing. You take it home.
Yeah.
Like you put it in a hard case, maybe bring a sustainer to put your taco shells in to save them on the way home.
Yeah.
And you slowly peel that box open and you're just careful. Don't be broken. Don't be broken. And then you get in there and you're just like, mother shitter. They're all cracked.
Yeah. I would go so far as to just not even buy hard shell tacos from the grocery store. I've been burned too many times because it's useless. If it's cracked right down the middle, what are you going to do with it?
I make a tostada, man.
Yeah, I guess that's a good option. Always now, let me ask you this. Flour or corn tortilla?
Now, Zach, I'm glad that you asked me this question because this has been something that has been troubling me for, I don't know, it looks like the last 9 minutes and 17 seconds of my life since we started the taco discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down with a corn tortilla.
Yeah.
If it's properly dressed.
Oh, how
because
so?
Corn tortillas don't have the same like structural integrity. So if you have a taco that's, you know, a very moist, has a lot of sauce and stuff on it, you pick that thing up. And if you don't go to town on it right away,
that's true.
You just blew right through the bottom of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you. So I like corn tortillas to me are like whole wheat bread. It's like the texture and the flavor is a little bit more interesting, but at the end of the day, I might actually just prefer a flour tortilla the same way I prefer a slice of just Wonder Bread. It depends what kind of mood I'm in, but like, you know, it's fluffy. It's a smooth consistency. You know exactly what you're getting. You don't have to worry about it falling apart on you.
That's a respectable choice. And I'm never going to shoot down just a classic, you know, white flour tortilla.
Exactly.
However, I'll hit you with one, and I'll let you take it or leave it.
Okay.
There's a brand, I think their Mission is the brand.
Okay.
They make tons of tortillas. They make these spinach herb ones. So they're all, weird.
Yeah.
It's bright green, and they also make a tomato basil one. They're phenomenal.
Yes, I like those. I've had those before. But those are also flour based, right? That's like flour and spinach.
I think so.
I don't think that the corn wouldn't have the structural integrity to hold together the spinach and the basil and tomato.
Corn tortillas are more of kind of like a street taco for me.
Yeah. If it can be served quick, it's quite good. And like hot off the little frying thing or whatever. I don't know what terms are.
Yeah. You know who does enjoy a nice taco?
Maybe one of our patrons.
We got
a new one.
We got two new patrons.
Oh man, I haven't checked the Patreon in a few days, so this is big news for me.
Well, coming in at the bottom of the barrel, but still in the barrel, and we appreciate you. Garrett Brown is an Odie's Oil fan.
Oh, he sure is.
Yeah, and Matt Hurley is a Rigid fan.
Oh, stepping up. Nice, Matt.
Stepping up,
I like it.
And then we actually do have an upgrade. The Swedish maker was like, I can't be an Odie's Oil supporter. So he jumped up and is a Rigid fan now.
Nice. Well, thank you for that, Swedish maker.
Yeah. And, you know, we all know this. You guys are tired of hearing their names. But if you want to add your name to the list of names that everybody's tired of hearing, you can do that. Our Cockers are Corey Duvall. And Scott Eastman.
Oh, and their power cocker. Okay, sorry,
I'm rushing
ahead. I'm rushing ahead. I apologize.
Yeah. Our other cocker, I gotta give him his full glory. He can't get cut off. Scott Eastman at Eastie's Woodshop. And Zach, who's our power cocker?
Wes Willard.
Yes, he is. So, you know, we won't go through the whole rigmarole. Link down in the description, patreon.com/AfterCutPodcast. Mm-hmm. Get merch, get after show, all that good
Join
stuff.
Join the community. Hang out. We talk jokes. It's great. Oh, and we got the Discord, which I'm still not in, by the way. I still need an invite to the Discord.
I think I set up Brock as like an admin. Well, our resident Pokemon trainer,
Brock
Trahan. I talked to him on the Google chat thingy, the video chat for a while last week. I think I got him set up as an admin. Maybe message him. I don't know.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, Well, what do you say? You want to jump into some questions? You want to talk about what you're doing? You got anything exciting going on in your life?
I'm building a house right now. That's taking up all my time. So I've been doing a lot of rebar and concrete work the last few days. So
yeah, checked out your story for the first time in a while.
Yeah, they're usually boring. I usually skip over them. So
I truly, if I don't see like in the first two or three dots.
Yeah.
No way in hell am I looking at anyone's stories.
I know. But it's interesting watching my girlfriend and her relationship with Instagram because it's completely different than mine. She genuinely enjoys watching people's stories. I don't know, somebody like you pops up at the top, then I'll check it out. But I don't really spend a lot of time on stories, to be honest.
Well, I thought we had a question that was similar to that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I blew it on that one. I don't know. Oh, okay. This is a good question I want to talk about.
Okay.
It's kind of similar.
Okay.
This is from Wes Willard. Oh, I got some in my eye.
Uh-oh. Eyelash. Oh, that.
It's... What'd you say?
I said eyelash.
No, not eyelash. So I think it was MDF dust.
Oh, right. Yeah, you said you're brutal.
Yeah. So anyway, Wes wants to know, how has your approach to creating a video evolved now versus when you started creating video content? Is it really just that you... Is it really just don't fumble the video and make sure you have a killer thumbnail and title?
That's part of it. I mean, yeah, I think my approach has changed. I think I said this before on the podcast, but I often think about like information density and trying to say the most amount of stuff in the least amount of time possible and like keep things happening, right? Like changing the, you know, camera angle and like telling things to people doesn't necessarily have to be in a voiceover. You can tell people, tell a story visually. I've tried to increase like the stakes of my video. Like I'm trying to have like an arc that you're seeing through to the conclusion at the end of the video. Like, you know, will this thing work or will this, you know, electric skateboard I built replace my car? Like, so I think there's definitely been like an evolution to the way that I make videos. But that's, yeah, there is so much emphasis has to be put on thumbnails and titles.
Yeah, dude.
It's
for me, this is the question. Like, yeah, I guess my creating videos has slightly changed. I made some smaller, you know, changes, but dude, title in the thumbnail.
Yeah.
I was talking to John at Lincoln Street Woodworks about this before my last video came out, and we had a good conversation. He pointed me to a live stream that he and Scott Walsh did. I'm actually going to leave a note in the description to this. It's basically he did the live stream, but then he made it private. But I can put the link to it. It's extremely interesting, and it pretty much mirrors the exact thing that I've noticed within the last several years of being on YouTube. That first off, the percentage of people who are searching your videos is, for me, about 2-3%.
Yeah, it's pretty low.
So making a video titled how to build a fill in the blank, how to build a modern dining table. No one is searching for that. The only way people are ever going to watch your video is if it shows up on their homepage. That's it.
Yeah. Or recommended after another video finishes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of unfortunate because you can make the world's best video, but if you have a horrible thumbnail and title combination, then it's just going to flop. But I don't know how you could fix that. But it's definitely frustrating.
Well, I mean, one of the things that you and I do, and I had gotten, it was the TubeBuddy, whatever the hell their most expensive one is. And like, sure, if you're not making any money on YouTube, paying what, $50-$60 a month or whatever the hell it is, you're like, that's bananas.
Yeah.
But for you and I, like, that would be stupid not to pay that amount of money, right? So you can do what they call A-B testing, where you basically say you have a picture of a dining table in the title, how to build a modern dining table. And then you have another one that's like
a this dining table cost me my relationship.
Right. And then like then just like a photo of you like with a router.
Yeah.
And it will do a statistical analysis. It will run both of them and then give you results saying, you know, this one outperformed by 175%. So you would be stupid not to go with the one that performed better.
Yeah. And it's tricky to know that information otherwise. Like you can change the thumbnail and title of a video at any point. But to actually know whether or not it's having an impact on the click-through rate of your video is really tough because, you know, that obviously ebbs and flows with time, especially when you first post a video, your click-through rate is usually pretty high and then it like lowers over time as it reaches a wider audience.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't necessarily be able to tell just by swapping back and forth between a thumbnail on your own, whether or not it was actually having any effect on your on the click-through rate, because there's too many confounding variables, whereas TubeBuddy switches it back and forth and logs all the data in a way such that it can actually work it out. So
yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you could really get in the weeds for this. So like one that I wanted to share was my most recent video, the one where basically I just talked about how I got my Instagram back. My original thumbnail was basically just me sitting by a bunch of tools holding my Ryobi drill. And the title is "This Saved My Failing Business."
Yeah.
Then when I was talking to John at Lincoln Street, he gave me an idea. He goes, "Oh, you should do one where like you're sitting next to like a silhouette of a person." Yep. And change it to "a random stranger save my business."
Yeah.
Now we had a conversation about it. It's like neither of us know which one is going to perform better.
Yeah.
But
have you been A/B testing those two? I've actually seen the video with both the thumbnails.
Yeah. I threw it on the A/B testing, and after it did two cycles, it already had statistical significance. It was 100% certain that my original title and thumbnail would be a better choice.
Oh, interesting. So
it was 11.49% click-through rate compared to 3.41.
Oh, wow. That's huge difference. Yeah, yeah. I'm used to seeing it's like, oh, this one's 5%, this one's 6%. It's usually like a pretty small difference, but...
Yeah, it's almost double.
I've had it... I had this one... I was doing A/B tests of thumbnails for my Everything Console video... And I actually went full circle. So I started with one and then I A/B tested another one and they were like, okay, the variation's better. So I picked the variation and then I tested that winner against another one. And it was like, okay, the second variation is better. So I did that. And then I tested the second variation against the original thumbnail. And it was like, oh, the original thumbnail has a better click-through rate. So it's...
That's wild.
It's, yeah, it's funky. It changes with time. So it's really tough to know.
But I think kind of where this is headed and kind of how content has changed over time is if you were having like a literal title and thumbnail on your video, right now, all of the evidence that I'm seeing that a lot of other people are seeing is that that's not doing anything.
You don't want to, it's annoying because like I think of the thumbnail is I want to give as much information to the viewer as possible. Like this is the thing I built and I'm going to show you how I did it essentially.
Right.
But unfortunately the reality is that you're much better off going with some extreme statement like I just changed one of my, so I had a speaker build video and I literally just changed the thumbnail to, what did I say? I think I actually changed it to "Real Wood Sucks" because it's like, you know, it's a statement that I feel like, oh, people be like, oh my God, I think Real Wood's amazing. So they would click the video to watch it. But the whole point of it is when you're building speakers, MDF is actually better than Real Wood.
Sure.
But originally the title of the thumbnail was like the name of the speaker and like, it was very literal, like very descriptive. I tried to make it like a search engine optimized as possible. And now I'm like, I'm better off just going with like kind of a provocative statement that might, you know, get some people's attention.
Yeah. And I think for this, I think, what am I trying to say? For me, I don't watch people's videos on the home screen. I have a small subset of creators that I watch in my subscriptions feed and that's it. But I know, as we've discussed this hundreds of times, I am the overwhelming minority of people on YouTube.
I would love to see what the split is between people who use the subscription page versus the homepage.
Well, based on my content, I only get like 3-5% of my videos through subscription
feed. Right. Yep. Yeah, that's pretty similar for me too, I think. Yeah. Yeah, so that's interesting.
And so, like, if you want to be successful on any platform, you have to follow the trends of things that are working.
Yeah.
As much as it sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, I don't, unless I follow you, like Zach, I know you put out great stuff. I follow you. So any video you put out, I'm going to watch it. But if I saw your video on the home screen, just me, that said real wood sucks, I would never click on that.
Yeah, I know. I know. And I wouldn't either. Like a lot of the time I'll see like clickbait title videos and I'll be so turned off by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So I think there's a interesting delineation between clickbait and being thought provoking or provocative.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, you know, like I, in defense of my title, Real Wood Sucks, like I do, that is borne out through the video, like the thinking behind that title and all these things, but it just still, it feels a little, doesn't feel, I don't know, feels a little gross almost to be doing it.
No, dude, I know exactly what you mean. I don't like doing it, but unfortunately, I have to.
Yeah. Yep. It's, it'll be interesting to see where YouTube's at in 3 years. Like, will we be more in that direction or will they correct the course of the ship and maybe make click-through rate not as important?
Dude, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, like, just the other day, I had, I changed one video, was like, the hardest chair I've ever built or something like that. And I changed the title to, I don't understand how people do this for a living.
Right.
And I talk about in the video, like, oh my gosh, like it's great. Like chairs are so hard. I have so much respect for people that are able to make chairs. And that's blown up now.
Yep. Yep. I mean, that's a really good title. It's a very provocative title. So.
But you're still fulfilling on your promise.
Yes.
Of the title.
Yeah, I think the problem is when people are like, you'll never guess what tool saved my business. And then it's like, there's no mention of that anywhere in the video. Yeah. But then, like some people just don't follow through on the clickbait titles at all. So that's, I've definitely fallen victim to that before. And immediately like, I will never watch this channel again at that point. So
my favorite example that I like to give, because I think everyone understands this and they're going to go, yeah, I've done that before. Or at least guys, I'll admit it. You go on YouTube for the very first time and you've never watched any video or whatever. And so they show you like travel videos or whatever.
Yeah.
And you get this thumbnail that's this beautiful woman with heaving features, just almost exposed. And you're thinking, I got to click on this. And you click on the video and it's just like some dude doing like a time lapse of him like sailing a boat.
Yeah.
Like, okay. This person wasn't even in the video.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I looked.
Yeah. I scrubbed through that entire thing. There was not a trace of her. Yeah.
It was on 50% speed.
Yeah. That's what I should start doing with all my videos.
Just put scantily clad women.
Yeah, scantily clad women. I'll just Photoshop them in. I'll just get them off, you know, like, I don't know. It's like a sportsillustrated.com. I don't know.
Sure. But you have to make sure you have the permissions. Use your stock photo thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's a great idea. Yeah, yeah. Stock photos. Okay. Done.
So to sum that up, what we've seen recently is, unfortunately, we both hate playing this game.
Yeah.
It is not about a searchable SEO. SEO's done on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've even, did you read the new letter that YouTube sent out like a couple, maybe like a week or so ago?
Just the one about shorts.
There was another one, and I usually don't really read these, but I scrolled down and one of their like top tips, it usually gives you like a couple like tips or whatever. One was like, oh, it actually might have been about shorts. It was like, don't spend your time like worrying about SEO, instead create an engaging and provoking title. Like YouTube is literally telling you to do that.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if that's short specific or if that's just general. I mean, I think that's good advice on YouTube, but I wonder if they meant that to be short specific or just in general.
I don't know. It's probably more short specific, but I mean, based on everything I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's where things are going, but
yeah.
Let's see. You got anything more to say on that topic?
No, I think we beat that dead horse.
Unfortunately, you have to use clickbait, and yes, we feel like absolute turds for doing it. Yes. I hate it.
And yes, our video style has evolved a little bit over time, but nothing too crazy drastic.
No, no. I would love to have somebody film me so I don't have to move the camera.
Oh, yeah, that'd be huge.
But Steve, my problem would be like, okay, yeah, come over from 11 to 11:20. Yeah. And then I got to go inside because I got a meeting. And then I'm going to pop back out, spread some glue on this stuff. And then I'm going to go back inside. Yeah. No, but I could never hire anyone for that.
I know. My thing would be like, oh, I need you to work Sunday. Yeah, we're going to work like 7 a.m. Sunday to 7 p.m. And mm-hmm. then, you know, maybe I'll be in there like 7 p.m. on Monday. I might put in a few hours. It's like, yeah, you can't ask anybody to work around that schedule, right? No.
The only way that would ever work for you and I is if this was our full-time gig.
Yeah, yeah. And we could, like, block schedule time. You know, like, Mondays are shooting day. Tuesdays are shooting day.
Like, sure. Like, yeah. I'm always in the shop 8 to 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's hear. Let's change it up.
Okay.
We got one from, do you want to do a question or you got anything you're working on you're excited about?
Not really. I'm in the phase where I realized that I had like 3 or 4 completed projects. I was like, I got to sit down and like work on these videos. Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to
yeah.
focus on the content for a bit rather than building stuff.
That's what happens. Like I have so many backlogged videos and like my whole thing is like, I'll wait till I need to put one out.
Yeah.
But then I signed the deal with Craig for the end of the year and none of the damn videos I'd already done I could use.
Oh, no.
So I'm like,
you couldn't
now I'm behind the gun, right?
Like, yeah, that's rough.
I got to work on this. I'm doing a wine rack, which is the first one coming up.
Okay.
I think I'm going to do
for your sister, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I'm going to make a title of something like a $3,000 wine rack.
Yeah. I was trying to think like. Yeah, this wine rack kept my family from breaking up or something like that.
That's not bad. Something, yeah. See, these are the kind of things like you need to throw out there.
Yeah.
I got that. I got to do like, I'm not looking forward to this, but she really wanted it. Like a DIYer's first workbench.
Oh, yeah.
I think in that video, what I'm going to do is just like talk about the evolution of things that I've done. Like, I've realized that this isn't that important. This isn't that important. This isn't that important. And maybe at the end of it, I'd be like, you know what? Just buy one of these Craig workbenches because it's a hell of a lot easier.
That's not a bad way to do it. Hold on. Going back to the wine rack for your sister.
Okay.
Here's the title. Mm-hmm. Our next family dinner is going to be awkward. ...
Oh, that's not bad.
Or our next family reunion is going to be awkward. ... Okay.
Well, yeah, she goes, I want a wine rack that holds like 40 bottles of wine. I'm like, who's buying that much wine?
She's trying to become a collector.
But if she buys like shitty wine.
Well, just the nice thing about shitty wine is you just had to wait like 100 years and then nobody knows and they pay a lot of money for it.
Maybe.
I don't know. I know nothing about wine as a disclaimer.
The other one, I got to build the nightstand. That thing's not going to take too long, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got the Craig ACS. That, like,
what's Craig ACS?
Do you know what the Festool? Shit, I don't know what it's
called. I'm looking up. Oh, okay. It's like their dog hole table.
Yeah, it's like the dog hole table that has, like, the track saw.
That's really cool. Oh, it's got a track saw in it?
Yeah, it has like a built-in track saw.
How does that work?
Was it Festool?
Yeah,
there's a Festool one. It's called the table saw. What's the Festool table? I'm Googling it right now.
Okay, as soon as
the MFT.
MFT, yeah, there it is.
So if you're familiar with the MFT, it's the exact same thing.
Does that stand for Mother Effin Table?
I don't know what else it would stand for.
I hope so.
But it's, I like it. However, you need more space than you would think for it to be useful. Like I have it right up against the wall right now and it's very mobile.
Yeah.
But you need more space because you need things to kind of like hang off the table.
Yeah.
And I'm frustrated that the adjustable feet don't go up high enough to meet the level of any of my surfaces.
Oh, yeah, that's rough. How about this? Would Craig be down with you taking the tabletop and like integrating it into Workbench?
Oh, yeah, she wouldn't care.
Then why don't you do like improving, like the video is improving Craig's like best products or something like that, or.
Not a bad idea. Actually, I'm going to write that one down for the future. Because I thought about it. I'm like, I really like this. However, I kind of want it as my like main workbench. Because you can just pop the track on and off.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's then just like use handy. It as like outfeed table.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay. Improving Craig's best product. Put ACS on outfeed table. Yeah, that's going on my long, long, long list.
Yeah, both Jason and Craig just said it's multifunction table, but I'm going to stick with
mother effing table. I don't think so.
They knew what they were doing when they named it that. They were like, people are going to think this means mother effing table.
One of my favorite naming conventions gone wrong is, you know, like all the Ford cars?
Yes.
They put like ST,
yes,
for like a high model. Where you know I think it's in Europe that ST is abbreviation for a female hygiene product.
Oh.
They call them sanitary towels.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So people always make fun of people with Ford cars when they get the ST model.
That's funny. That's like the Ford's like not quite their sport one, but it's like the sportier version of the regular car, essentially.
Yeah. Then they have, I always thought that was funny when somebody told me that.
Yeah, that is quite funny. You know what? The one that I love the most is Chevrolet cars. So the Chevrolet trims go like, it's like SL and then LT. And then the top spec one is usually called the LTZ. And what does that stand for? The CEO of Chevrolet for many years was Bob Lutz, LUTZ. So he's such a narcissist that he just dropped the U and he's like, yep, the top trim one is going to be the LTZ because it's spec for me.
Is it just me? Or do you find trying to figure out the trim levels of vehicles unbelievably difficult?
Yes, 100%. Unless I'm like actively looking to purchase that vehicle, the trim level means nothing to me.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to, have you looked at buying a Jeep recently?
Oh yeah. They're the worst too. Cause there's like Rubicon, Trailhawk. They've got like a million different sub.
Let me hit you with some.
Yeah. Okay. Give me some of these.
Oh, come on.
I also dislike, so Jeep does a thing where the lowest trim one is often called the Sport. And it's weird to me that the lowest one is the Sport trim.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you looking at buying a Jeep?
No, I was for the sake of discussion. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Give me all the word salad.
Okay. Summit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is better, a Summit or a Limited?
Limited is usually like a higher trim.
Nope.
Oh, damn.
Okay. What about a Altitude?
Okay.
Versus
you're high up
a Overland.
I'm gonna say Overland.
Yes, that one's right.
Okay, nice.
What about a Reserve?
Okay, this is classy.
A Trailhawk.
Oh, well, now you got like the fancy trim one versus the off-road trim one. So I'm gonna say reserve.
Yeah, Reserve's more expensive, but this is what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, it's how nonsense.
The hell are people supposed to know?
Yes. They should just do like the Jeep level one, the Jeep level two, the Jeep level three. You know what I mean?
It's confusing as hell.
Yeah.
But like sometimes you want one feature that's in the Summit, but not the one that's in the Reserve. And like, yes. Oh, for God's sakes.
Oh, it's impossible. It's impossible. And I find that with the F-150s, there's like the middle trim is often the best looking trim. And then as you go like down the spectrum and up the spectrum, they start adding chrome to it. It's like, I just want the middle trim one because they get rid of all the chrome. It looks nice and clean.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like, I want the one with no trim, but that's a or no chrome trim, but that's the base model. But if I want like the nice seats, then you're going to smack me with all this chrome that I don't want.
It's like, it's all blingy. It's in your face. It's crazy. It's like, I just want the simple looking one with the nice seats, and you can't have it.
So I think that this ties nicely. Corey Duvall wants to know, have you heard any good conspiracy theories?
Oh, yeah.
The car industry is a conspiracy.
The whole thing?
They're trying to screw us.
Yeah, they definitely are. I don't even know if that's a conspiracy. That's just a fact.
That's just a fact. You heard any good conspiracy theories, though?
I don't think so. I'll think about that one. Okay. I'll come back to it if I remember anything, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
We'll get back to it.
I'm browsing all the conspiracy forums all the time. I got news alerts set up on my phone just in case.
Well, you need to.
Yeah.
You really need to.
Yeah, you need to be in the know. You need to know when these things happened.
So Brock Trahan wants, he's coming in with a quick one, resident Pokemon trainer. He wants to know, Eric, how do you go about getting wood to the shop with the Civic?
Good question.
Fantastic question.
I assume rear seats fold down?
Yes.
Okay. So you got a decent amount of storage space then.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do the thing where you do trunk open, lumber in, and then you like kind of like rope down the trunk so it doesn't flap in the wind?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that'll get it done.
Oh, yeah. So if I have a 2x4, like a, you know, standard 8-foot 2x4, I can put it all the way in my car. And it'll just be about 4 to 6 inches away from like the air conditioning controls.
Okay.
And close the trunk.
Oh, nice. Wow. That's more than I would have thought. Or like I guess the Civic is longer than I would have thought.
Yeah. And that's like the first time I did that, I was like, that's wild.
Yeah.
But if I'm getting roughs on lumber, you know, obviously it's a little bit wider, so it doesn't really fit between the seats.
Right.
And if you put it on that like center console thing, you're just going to leave splinters all over the place.
Yeah, it's going to be no good.
So I usually just back up the board to like the back of the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's hanging out the car, you know, I don't know, like 2 feet or so. Yeah. And then I just ratchet strap it down. Zero issues.
Do you have tie downs in the trunk? Is it like a good spot to like hook the ratchet strap on?
There are some decent spots like underneath the rear deck where like the speakers go and stuff.
Gotcha.
Necessarily tie downs, but I mean, for the amount of force I need to hold these boards in, like you're good.
You know what move I love seeing people do is, they put the wood in the trunk and it's a little too long. It's hanging too far at the back. So they roll down the passenger window and stick the lumber out the passenger window.
I've seen that
more times than I care to think.
That's okay. But the one thing that people don't realize is that if you put like your wood and I don't know why that made me laugh. It's all immature.
I know why.
Children. If you put your wood up on the dashboard, and you're like, it's an inch or two away from your windshield. And you're driving home thinking, I'll be fine. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's scary.
You're asking to crack your windshield.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Just let it hang out.
Yeah. What about this? What about like a nice beefy roof rack? Would that be better for you? Then you get like really ratchet strap. You get some long boards on there.
I don't know, because I think the roof span of my car is only...
Yeah, I guess it kind of tapers
maybe
up towards the top.
4 feet?
Yeah, but that's like, that's an, oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
And then it's going to go like a, really flex up and down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've thought about it, but I don't know.
I've had, so I don't have it on my current truck, but on my old truck I had it. It's called a back rack, and it's basically like a steel frame that sits right behind the cab of the pickup truck. So it goes up to the same height as the roof of the cab. So you can then put stuff in your bed and then leaning up against the rack. So using that, I've driven around with 24-foot long pieces of lumber on my truck. So it's like basically from the front of the hood to, I don't know, like 6 feet behind my truck. And it's very much that springy. Woo, 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 woo. You can watch it.
Does that like weird you out if you go on the highway?
I wouldn't go on the highway like like that. Strictly right, like
so very... I have to go on the highway to get lumber.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that would freak me out on the highway for sure. I would take like weird surface roads so that I didn't have to do that.
Yeah. So getting like hardwood, like sticks of lumber, no issue whatsoever. People are like, okay, but what about plywood?
Yeah.
So if I trust me, I've done this a million times. When I fold my seats down, I can get 33 inches wide between the seats, like once it folds down.
Yeah.
So a full sheet of plywood is 48 inches wide. I basically go to the store knowing what I'm going to be building and kind of make a cut list and try to figure out, I can just rip this sheet at, 27, still get all my stuff, and then I can put it in the car same way.
Mm-hmm.
Just have it hanging out.
Yeah. Okay. Do you get them to, you usually cut it yourself?
If I go to the depot, like if I'm just looking to buy some garbage plywood and I'm at the depot, their saw hasn't worked since I lived here.
Yeah. You told me that. I forgot about that.
3 years.
Yeah.
So I just use, like the Craig.
Yeah, totally.
Rip guide thing. Yep. It's like, I was like $20. So you just like screw onto your circular saw, not finish ready cuts, but like, it'll get you pretty damn straight.
Yep. And then you just clean it up in the shop. Good to go.
Yeah, you just take another like half inch off in the shop or whatever.
If money was no object, would you have a panel saw and space was no object? Would you have a panel saw in your shop?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I've never even used one.
So.
I think it might be fun to try one, though. Money's
kind of a pain in the ass, to be honest with you.
Yeah?
Yeah. I had one in high school.
Yeah.
And then we'd use it to break down plywood, and it was just very cumbersome and awkward.
Yeah, interesting. I don't even know if I've actually rightfully stood there and watched the Home Depot guy use one before. So I don't really know.
That's not a very good saw to judge it on. That thing's a piece of crap.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I was in my local Home Depot, and in the, I think the flooring section, like where they have all the laminate and all that type of floor, they had the same miter saw that I have. I was like, that's a nice miter saw, just out so that people could cut pieces of hardwood flooring or like laminate flooring, like right there in the Home Depot. I was like, that's kind of weird. But
I've seen that in like the very, very back, almost by like the bay doors that they bring in lumber.
Right.
But I didn't
know
if that was for employees or what.
Yeah, I kind of got the vibe like if there's a miter saw in a Home Depot, it's for employees only. But this one very much had the vibe that it was just like, hey, come use it.
Take a look at the blade and see how much like pitch and build up was on it?
No. I was scared.
You probably couldn't cut yourself if you wanted to.
Yeah, true.
I was going to say something. I forgot what I was going to say.
Craig's got a good title for the, I see it in the live chat. He said the one where they let their wood hang out.
Oh, that's not a bad title. Talk about in the mid show.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
That's possible.
I'm jumping ahead again tonight.
No, you're good. Okay. It's on the
Eric's
list.
Eric's writing it down.
That's how I feel the awkward dead air. I just make noises and grunt. panel saws.
Yes.
No, even my the lumber yard that I go to get plywood has like a super, super big one. I think it's like 14 feet long, which I don't know who
crazy
hell is getting 14 foot long plywood. But
can you even, I don't know that I've ever actually seen plywood bigger than 4x8. I've seen
I've seen it a 10x10, but you have to custom order it.
Oh, cool.
I wonder where, I think it's for like boats and stuff.
How the hell would they even ship that?
I don't know.
Like probably it's vertically on the back of a really big truck.
Yeah. Well, because a standard cab or trailer is 8 feet tall and about 6 or so feet wide.
Oh.
No, 8 feet wide. Because you can fit 24 pallets that are 40x48.
By the way, can you tell that Eric's a logistics engineer now?
Well, it depends on the trailer, actually. But usually about 24 to 26 pallets that you can fit on a truck, a 53-foot truck.
Okay.
But, yeah, so, like, it wouldn't fit. You'd have to shoot it at a 45 or get, like, a custom
they must
like,
all
soft
be made,
bed truck.
Yeah, they must all be made domestically then too, right?
I would assume so, because that's not going to fit in a shipping container.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know a lot of the plywood that my mill gets, some of it, there's two different grades. There's one grade that they're like, it's shop grade plywood, and that usually comes from China. But then the cabinet grade stuff is usually domestically made. Which is interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. But no, dude, I wouldn't get a panel saw. The thing for me that I want more than anything, and I'm sure you feel the same way, even though you have substantially more of it, just more workbenches.
Oh yeah, you can never have enough workbenches. You're like a fish that grows to the size of its aquarium.
Yeah, I want 2 4x8 workbenches.
Yeah, yeah. I have, so my workbenches, I think, are 38 by, like, I don't actually know what they are, obviously, clearly. I think they're like 38 by 70, something like that. And
they're a good size.
They are. They're bigger than, 90% of the time they're fine. But I was making that QR code table, and it was just a little too big. I was trying to glue the whole thing up. It was like 44 inches wide. It was a little bit awkward. Some of it,
like when you have like legs hanging over an edge or something like that.
Exactly. It's nice to just have everything completely supported.
I want a, again, multiple 4x8 workbenches.
Yeah.
But so what I was trying to get at, I don't want a panel saw. Instead, I want one workbench that I just have an MDF top on it that I literally just like set my track saw down on it and just cut right into it. Don't care at all
about every 6 months you replace it or whatever.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of like a CNC foam bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I need a CNC. I'm working on this wine rack now.
Yeah.
And I like,
oh yeah, you could cut each all the shelf. Little...
Oh. And I'm like, I'm going to make a template, obviously, but I still have to make the template by hand, which is a pain in the ass. But...
Yeah. We got to get Brandon on the podcast. I'll rattle his cage again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to get that. And then should we tease the? Do you see that email that came through today, or our potential next guest?
I did, but I was thinking we tease that one in the after show.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll tease that in the after show. We gotta
give people, can't give the cheap people
exactly
all the glory, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I think Wes Willer just showed up in the live chat.
Heyo.
I got this new setup where I can see the live chat while we're going, and it's too distracting. I think I got to turn it off. I need to focus on the conversation more.
Dude, I'm not trying to gas you up or anything, but I actually, believe it or not, I did watch your video on the epoxy charger thing.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I really like the way you did it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And thank you for helping me figure out the... I saw your comment. I just haven't had a chance to respond yet. Thank you for helping me figure out how to do the slot.
No, I know. I knew you didn't do it maliciously. I just had to dog you. So in it, for anybody who hasn't seen it, a long time ago, Zach was like, hey, how do I route a dado, a stopped dado at like a 15 degree angle? Mm-hmm. And so we were going back and forth, and I was like, why don't you just like make like a jig that basically just holds your router at an angle. He's like, that's a great idea. Yeah. And in the video, you said something like, yeah, I couldn't figure out how to do this. And then I came up with this idea. I'm like, fuck you. No, you didn't.
Yeah, true. Revisionist history. I'm the one editing the video, so I get to say whatever I want.
Yeah. Well, some of my favorite YouTube comments are, you should really go back and edit this part out or edit in. It's like, you don't know how YouTube works.
Yeah, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. Speaking of, I think we talked about this a little bit over text, but I posted that YouTube short of me bleaching some wood.
And oh, God.
That video, first of all, has been blowing up, but also...
Yeah.
The amount of people calling me racist for bleaching the wood...
Yeah.
Is off the charts. I don't even know if they're kidding or if they're it's so weird.
Are these appropriate to share? Because these are the kinds of, I'm gonna check mine to see if it's I texted it to you on Instagram.
Yeah. I think it's appropriate to share.
Okay. So if you feel like you need to censor any of yours, go for it.
Okay.
Obviously, people, we are reading comments. This is not any of our thoughts or beliefs. Again, we are just reading comments from belligerent people on the internet because people have actually asked for a we read mean tweets thing. So this was on my video all about how I lost my Instagram that like a month or so ago. And this person, Greg Morris, replies, honestly, well, first of all, it's filled up with tons of grammatical errors. So I'm going to try to read it as it was intended. It says, honestly, it's because you're white. Because if you weren't, then you'd be celebrated and could do no wrong. Burn, loot, murder, the platform would applaud you. Maybe you should just become non-white. I'm like, who posts? I literally, that is my reaction to Zach was, who writes this on the internet with a like crying face? What WTF? Like,
oh man, YouTube. Well, so I think I said to you, YouTube comments makes me realize how many sad, lonely people there are on the internet who are just looking to lash out about anything. I'm trying to find some of the good ones here. But yeah, anyways, I think yours does a pretty good job of illustrating the tone.
I think the one that you sent me might not be podcast appropriate. It basically took the sentiment of my comment that I got from somebody and takes it a little bit further.
Yes. Yeah. To say the least.
Who writes this on the internet?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Sad, sad people.
And so I got a boatload of things like that. And honestly, like, it doesn't really bother me that much because I know that it's not a reflection on me. It's these people that, you know, have weird senses of reality. But like, when you get flooded with this kind of stuff, like, this is kind of the thing that like makes you think, is there going to be a point where I just say F it and just don't look at any comments anywhere?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the types of comments you get are different depending on how successful your video is, right? Like, if you have a video blow up, you're going to get all sorts of weird stuff. But then if you have a video that just plays to your, like, normal audience, then it's all like, yeah, there's great discussions to be had. So I'm kind of at the point where, like, as soon as a video gets more than, like, you know, I don't know, whatever, 100,000 views, let's say, I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to bother looking at these comments.
Yeah,
most of them are just inane. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I'll be completely transparent. I look at most comments if I can.
Yeah.
And so let's say you got, I don't know, a 1,000 comments, Zach. You looked at 1,000 comments. How many do you think of those would just be belligerent, trolling, rude things? Like, 5?
Based on my shorts lately, I would say like 90%.
Okay. Yeah, well, shorts don't count.
Oh, okay. It's a normal video? I don't know. Yeah, not that many.
Right. When Zach and I talk about this, it's 5. Not that every other comment is just some belligerent asshole.
Yes.
It's just a couple. And as much as like most of the time when I read these comments, I can just laugh and move on. But sometimes just somebody says just that one thing that like doesn't piss you off, but you notice yourself just thinking about it a lot throughout the day.
Yes. Yeah. The ones that always get me for some reason are the ones where people say something. They're like, oh, you should have done this. You're such an idiot. And I did do the thing that they're saying I should have done. Like, so on my skateboard build, at the very end of the video, I say like the total price of everything. And somebody commented like, I can't believe I watched that entire video and you didn't say how much the thing cost to make.
And you're like, I did.
I did. And I don't know why, but those bug me the most for some reason. And I don't even respond to
them. There's no point of responding because
exactly.
You're not winning.
Yeah, exactly.
I got one the other day. What was that? That really bugged me for a while. It was like, I really enjoyed this video, but none of your shots were in focus or color graded.
Right.
And I was like, this was one of the videos I actually did color grade. And they were in focus.
And also, dude, it's YouTube. Like, come on.
This isn't a cinematography channel. Yeah. It's a woodworking channel.
It's not a Michael Bay movie. It's like, you know, I'm showing you how I made this thing.
Right. And it's just like, those are the things that like, just like, those are the things that irk you.
It's never the stuff, like, people call me like an idiot all day long. It's like, okay, whatever. I don't really, I don't care. But the guy who's like, you didn't discuss how much your board cost to make it. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I don't know why it bugs
me.
Or
what really drives you nuts is like, somebody was like, oh, you should have, and not, what, you should have discussed how much this thing costs in comparison. And you go, shit, I should have.
Yeah, yeah. Those ones, like, usually, as long as the person like doesn't say it in a disrespectful way, those I'll usually respond to, like, duly noted. Like, I'll try and include stuff like that in the next video.
I saw this on, speaking of trolls, I was watching someone else's video. I don't know who the hell it was, but for whatever reason, I scrolled down in the comments. I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah,
but I saw
were you
someone,
lost?
I got lost. My GPS was out of batteries.
Yeah.
And somebody left some asshole comment, and the person replied back with something along the, like, whatever like an automated phone would say, like, I'm sorry, we couldn't hear your response, please try again, or like press one to speak to this thing. And then they literally replied back like one, and then they said I'm sorry, like, we couldn't get to your request. Please press one. And they did it multiple times. I was like, this person doesn't realize that the creator is trolling you back. I was like, using that.
Yes, yes. I got to remember that. I do, like, I like trolling people back, but then I'm like, are they still winning in some weird way because I'm, like, even responding at all?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it helps your video out.
It does. It does. That's true. More comments is better. All engagement helps. So, yeah, that's a good point.
But let's say, hypothetically, we snap our fingers and your channel is now as big as like Mark Rober's, right? Where like, you put out a video and you're like, oh man, that only got 50 million. Like, that sucks.
Damn. I wonder if those guys feel that way.
Probably.
Yeah.
I've seen him A/B test videos. I love Mark Rober's stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Me too. It's great.
But yeah, I've looked in his. He doesn't reply to any comments that I've seen.
Yeah,
I'm not saying as a statement.
Honestly, I've looked at like most of the biggest creators. They don't respond to a single comment because I assume, you know, when you're operating at that level, you're probably just entirely focused on your next project, right?
Like, not only that, but like, there is no way you could keep up with it, and it would be very demoralizing to just, you log in and just like, I'm going to get raked over the coals for 3 hours today.
Yeah.
Like,
nobody
wants that.
Why would I put myself through that kind of abuse?
Yeah. So at what point would you see yourself just like not doing comments, or is the way you handle it just kind of like, I'll go in and answer a couple comments and then move on with my day?
That's kind of the way I do it right now, is like, honestly, like if I'm sitting around at home and I'm twiddling my thumbs, I'm like, why don't I answer some comments for a little bit?
Yeah.
And when a video first comes out, like, I will usually try to get to all the people who are like, watch it the day of and make comments the day of. But then as a video ages, it's just kind of, you know, if I can get to it, I'll get to it. But if not, I think priority number one for me is always creating more content.
Agreed.
And it's, you know, if I have some free time and I don't have anything to do, then maybe I'll think about comments and DMs and all these things. But priority number one always has to be, well, priority number one is, you know, shelter from the elements, and then it's food, and then
tacos.
Yeah. But, you know, answering comments always comes after creating new stuff.
Yeah. And I think it needs restated that it's not that we don't want to. It's that I physically don't have enough time to do it.
Yeah. Look, the wood bleaching video has 435 comments.
Right.
My video about putting sand in your speaker stands has 1,600 comments.
Right.
It's like, I would have to spend my entire life just sitting there answering comments.
Even literally just using like the TubeBuddy auto respond.
Yeah.
It would still, honestly, 1,500 comments, that would take you an entire day. To just really, literally reply, thank you, paste, thank you, paste, yes. thank you, yeah. paste. Yeah.
It's true.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
So I think I kind of shot myself in the foot. This is all the last thing I got to say. I think I shot myself in the foot on some of those videos. I was like, hey, if you watch this video, like, comment this word.
Oh, right. Yes, because you have, that's like an integral part of your videos. But what happens if you have a video blow up and you can't?
I know.
But it's good because
it.
That must also sort a lot of stuff out too, right? Because I'm imagining if you have a video go viral and people don't use your secret code word, then you just ignore it, right?
Or I like to reply, did you watch the video? That's another favorite one of mine.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, I gotta stop doing that. I think I'm going to put it in and just do like a text overlay, like a little like lower thirds thing. We like made it this far.
Just
comment spaghetti.
Yeah, like just don't make the commitment that you will respond if they do it. Just like be like, use this word so that I know you watched the whole video.
Right. I think that's where I'm going to transition it to. Because like, but I also think as a viewer, like if you look at a video and you're like, oh, this is 15 months old. And the guy said, I promise I'll get back to you. Probably not going to get back to me.
Yeah, there has to be like some expectation of like.
Statute of limitations.
Yeah, exactly. That's not like 30 years from now, you're not going to be getting back to people.
You don't know.
Well, that's true. You might be like, you might be retired at that point. You might be a little bit bored.
Well, speaking of being bored, I'm bored of the main show.
Okay.
So I say we head over to the after show.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right, well, people, we're not going to ramble on. You know where it's at, patreon.com/offthecutpodcast.
Send us emails.
Check it out. Yeah, send us emails, all the good stuff.
Any voice notes?
No. Somebody's got to send us a voice note.
I'm mad right now. That's why I'm slamming my desk right now.
We're not going to record anymore.
Send us some voice notes. They're a lot of fun. We'll play them live on the air. It's a good time.
You heard it here first. There will not be another Off the Cut podcast until someone sends us a damn voice note.
There we go. I agree.
All right. Well, this could be the last episode, Zach. This
might be the last episode.
All right. Well, the ball's in your court, audience. We got several hundred of you listening to this. Somebody's got to take the initiative here.
I agree.
All right. Well, that seemed very demanding.
Well, you know what? It's about time that people give something back.
I feel bad now. I feel bad.
We invest hours in this every week. Somebody's going to send us a voice note. I have faith. All right. Yeah,
it's probably gonna be Mark Holmes.
I hope so.
I don't know, but I enjoy listening to his voice. But if you want to enjoy listening to our voices, we'll be over at the after show. And if you don't, then you probably shouldn't be listening to this podcast. But we'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.
See you guys.